The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They go once again into Vaughn Lake. One hit a piece, and it's stolen by Harden. Harden for the slam to seal the deal. 61 for Harden. And that will do it.
61 last night for James.
Shout out
Harden.
Craig Ackerman. Shout out Craig Ackerman on the broadcast.
That wasn't Craig Ackerman.
That wasn't?
Was it? Oh, that was the Rockets. Oh, that was the Rockets broadcast. Okay.
Sounded like Ackerman.
Oh, I didn't think. Oh, yeah, we can use AT&T. That's right. I was thinking Craig Ackerman on the radio. We can't use that, Del. Don't use Craig Ackerman on the radio.
I haven't ever used Craig Ackerman.
Well, don't, I'm just telling you here and now. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble, okay, with the FCC. And, oh, did you see James get up as he was walking in?
Oh, yeah. Fresh to death.
He talked about it after the game, what a special place it is. You know, somebody asked him, is it like that? Because they did appreciate him last night. A lot of places, you know, will boo him and all this stuff. There was some appreciation last night for James and his 61. 61 is a big number. That's a big number.
Franchise high.
Over 36 now per game. He went from 35.7 to 36.3. And this was a question on the show before ours, and I think a pretty good question. Will James average 36 for the season?
Well, my guess is yes. Now, here's the thing, because James wants it, so it's going to happen.
Well,
but Chris Paul
might
come back. I don't want to jinx it and say he will come back.
Chris Paul will come back. Now, what are you talking about?
Okay.
Chris Paul's coming back. All right? Why would you start something like some kind of rumor?
December 20th was the last time, so we're already at 4, headed into 5 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the thought was. It was going to be
2 to 3 weeks.
It was going to be 2 to 3 weeks. No. It was 4 to 6 immediately, right after. I mean, people speculated 2 to 3, but it's been 4 to 6, like the 2 days later.
I actually don't think they put a timetable on it when it first came out. I remember seeing them refute Peter Vesey saying 2 to 3 months. I remember them refuting that. I don't remember seeing 4 to 6 on the hamstring.
I'm telling you, I went back and looked because I heard Charlie talking about it too when he was talking about it too. And I went back and looked and it was 4 to 6, like within a couple 3 days right after. And now it's probably longer, but that's neither here nor there. Some are talking about at the end of the month. I don't know who is talking about at the end of the month, but you know, they were talking about that possibility. But he is going to come back. And when he does come back and Capella comes back, you know, James doesn't have to put up all of these numbers every night.
Okay.
Well, I'm not saying he won't, or he won't try, or he won't keep shooting, but he doesn't have to.
Well, maybe he does. If Chris Paul played like he played before James, before he got hurt, Chris Paul wasn't playing great basketball.
No.
And they still are going to have to get points from somewhere. But at this point right now, at this juncture, it really doesn't make sense for other people to be shooting very often. At this point, other people shouldn't even be allowed to shoot on the team.
I saw somebody tweeted, Manny or somebody tweeted out, why would he ever give up the ball to these slap D's? What? Or something like that. I'm like, why? Don't call them. They're not all a bunch of slap D's, okay? That's not what they are. They're people. They're professional basketball players.
Yeah, they're also game winners right now. They're winning games.
Well, every other game.
Yeah, they're every other at a 500 clip.
Well, that's true.
Right.
27-20. I wasn't sure we were even going to see a 500 record at one point this year.
Yeah, no, that is true. I mean, big ups after the way that they started and the kind of, you want to know the truth, 500 is better than when Chris Paul was playing earlier in the season.
Now, in all seriousness now that I got to make my joke about why would anyone else do that. James shot a lot yesterday. James got to the free throw line a lot. 2 4-point plays for James yesterday. He didn't shoot it particularly well from three, but he did have a couple of – I mean, his step-back threes, when he gets it going, are really pretty, and he did have a couple where he landed on the guy's foot and turned it into a 4-point play. But he didn't shoot it great from three, but he's getting to the free throw line a ton again, like a ton. And yesterday he also was boarding out as well. So he scored a ton in the first quarter, got red hot in the first, and then – I thought his ability at the end of the game that was, what was the score? Like the Rockets were up two, and James had this move where he slalomed between like three different defenders, Euro stepped to the right, and then came back under with his left arm and used the rim to protect him as he laid it in. I thought that was just an absolutely brilliant move, and that's one that very few players probably in league history are able to make. That move. You talked previously about, you know, how good he is as an offensive player. He can do things as a finisher, and which is what really frustrates me is when he's settling. You know, he took 20 shots yesterday, 23-point shots. The settling thing still bothers me some because he's such a devastating finisher with his ability to get past people with his big second and third steps, and then his, you know, he can elevate and finish with on either side of the rim. I just think if James kept attacking the basket and cut back on some of the bad step-back threes, you're probably talking about even more free throws, which are high-percentage shots for him. And at 61 now, James is now, right now, averaging over 36. He's the first player since the merger, I heard on the previous show, since Michael Jordan is the only other player to average over 36.
Yeah,
only
Kobe, other player. Kobe averaged 35, so he's... You know, and that's the question. Will he be right there with Michael, or will he fall behind Kobe? I'm thinking it's got to let up. It's got to. He just can't continue. And here's the thing about
he shot 38 times, though.
Well, 38 plus probably another 12. Plus another 12 that he was fouled on, which is, you know, another that's 50 shots he took.
Yeah.
So, but here's the deal is, Lance, I think he can't, you know, and you know, the 23s are not great, and especially when you're only shooting 25%. But I don't know how much energy he can possibly. He can't keep driving all the time. You know, that's a little energy saver for him, just throwing up a three on a step back. How about that he scored 261 straight points without an assist? I mean, he hasn't been assisted on one of those.
Without someone else passing to him.
Yes, without someone passing to him.
It was an ISO. Now, that was a factory of ISOs last night.
Well, that's for the last four games it's been.
Yeah. No, this is as isolated. I'm not going to say as bad as it's been because the guy's hitting 61. Like, I'm not going to down talk a guy who is doing things that have rarely been done in league history. It's just he is right now at this point. He has basically said, I'm going to go win these games. I'm going to get us the points. And he's doing it, and he's able to do it, and the guys around him are allowing him to do it. I mean, clearly you had Fareed steps right in and you know, right into the mix with 26 minutes. And, you know, I thought played pretty well. I was happy. I think that's a great pickup. Mm-hmm. And I know Daryl Morey's always talked about the fact that the buyout is the new trade trade deadline. The buyout is the trade market, not really the trade market anymore. Because trade market, you got to give stuff up. Buyout, you just have to, you know, be in good with an agent and be a destination that players want to play. And so Daryl's figured that out, and so he looks at that as a potential trade market because, let's face it, he doesn't have a lot of chips that he can deal for potential trade partners.
No. And, you know, man, that was a bit scary, you know, being down to the Knicks the way that they were and for them to come back out in the second half and take care of business, holding them to 15. That's something that's, if I'm not mistaken, a little unusual. The Rockets beating them 30-15 in the third quarter.
Why?
Because that third quarter has more often than not been has hurt them coming out of the locker room. So for them to come out and play the way that they did and then to hold on and beat him 114-110. Why does Noah Vonleh have the ball at the right past the timeline And Eric Gordon steals it from him, and James Harden goes in and lays it in to seal the win. Why Noah Vonleh has it out there, I have no idea. But the Knicks, they've got some issues. Afterwards, Enes Kanter went off on Fizdale and, you know, said he wants out of there because he's
good.
Not getting
it. Get him out. That guy's the biggest yapper. No wonder the guy from Edrigan or whatever from Turkey's tired of him.
Tired of him? He wants to kill him.
We don't know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah, we
do. We know for a fact.
Yeah, we know that for a
fact.
We know
Enes Kanter
couldn't even go to London.
No, he wants...
They had a game in London, and he couldn't go because he was fearful.
You know,
he was in fear.
Yeah,
go and just try to work it out and see what happens.
They want him extradited to because they think he's a traitor. You know what they do to traitors
in Turkey?
What? In Turkey?
Or what? Do they tell them to stop doing that? Do they do memes and GIFs about them?
No.
On Twitter?
No, they don't.
Wait a minute. You think the Turkey government, they're going to put up a meme about them?
Do they show a missed dunk of his and then do a garbage can on fire? Mm-mm. Do they do that?
No. You know what they do?
Trash?
You know what they do? They put you in front of a wall and they shoot you.
Is it a GIF?
No,
it's real life.
It's real.
Do they make it a GIF after that?
I mean, they might. That's propaganda. Who knows?
Here's what happens if you talk bad about our president.
Hey, a quick question. In his last five games, how many threes per game do you think James is taking?
Threes per game?
Yeah.
In the last five?
Yeah.
How many, Adele? Go ahead, give a number.
I'm going to go 17.
17.2. 17, that's got to be a record. This has to be a record, right? 17 three-point attempts a game? This has to be a record.
Does he own the single?
I'm going to look at what the...
I know they're putting up 70 a game, usually. You know, I mean, last night was a slow night, just 44 threes. They put up 70 last week. That was the record, right? Wasn't 70 threes for one team a record? And didn't the Warriors, they had the record for most combined threes?
The Pelicans?
Okay, James Harden, three-point field goals attempted per game. In a season, let me see. Well, this year, James is averaging 13.25. Steph Curry's 11.72. I mean, whatever the record is, it's got to be within the last 3 years. Last year, James was at 10. Curry was at 10. In 2017, Curry was at 10. James is at 9. In 2016, Curry was 11. And so James is set to shatter that. In 2015, it was 8.69 Curry. It's almost always Curry. And, yeah, that was the first time. Then it was 7.9 per game. So the highest number in 2000, and this is not that long ago, in 2014, the highest number in the league, and we thought it was a lot, was Steph Curry at 7.91. Second in the league was Ryan Anderson at 7.45. Third was James Harden at 6.8. He was averaging 6.8 three-point attempts per game in 2014.
That's it?
Yeah. This year, he's averaging 13. That's what I'm saying. We're desensitized. I'm seeing these numbers, and I'm not. I know how outrageously high this is. James is now double the three-point attempts, more than double from 2014. Actually, not more than double. He's right at double the three-point attempts.
You can look at his game logs from the start of January, and you can just look at the increase. Like, in December, he averaged 12.6 threes per game, still a lot, and almost 23 shots per game. And I guess if what he did against the Warriors when they won 135-134 and he put up 44, kind of flipped the switch, maybe. Because since that point, he's averaged 30 shots in the month of January per game and 17.3 threes. So maybe he was like, hey, this can work against the best team in basketball.
No, this is a new thing. This is a new thing that he's doing where he's going to shoot a ton of threes. Danny Granger led the league in 2009 at 6.72 threes per game attempted. That was the high.
One more outlandish thing before we go to break. James has we know he's getting up to 30 shots per game. The average would say that. He's had, in the month of January, three games where he's not – actually, only one game where he's not shot the ball 24 times in the month of January. And that was 18.
Well, and again, I think the three-pointer now is acting like his defense – that's where he takes a break. You know, I don't have to drive to the hole. I don't have to put moves on. I just can dribble here, step back, and throw one up. That's a break. That's a little bit of a break for me. Because how many minutes is he averaging?
Right now, he's at 38.7. In the month of January, 38.7. Overall, he's at 36. Yeah. Actually, 37.3 overall.
He's got more minutes. I mean, and usually it seems like it's 40 a game.
I'd have to find that.
They'll give him a little bit of a break, but it's, you know, that's, I think that's where he gets a little bit of a blow. He just, I'm going to take a break here to throw up a three. All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. In the meantime, Lance wants to tell you about his patio. Yeah,
so I had a scout who we were actually talking about that yesterday. He asked me about my he saw it on Facebook when I posted my – I had more social media reaction to my patio than anything ever. Like I just did a before and after on the patio after it was finished on Facebook, and it just went bananas. And one of the reasons is because so many people can now see – what their home could look like. And you see that and you realize, man, my house could look like that. If you haven't seen my backyard yet and what it was looked like before with the space that was there and what it looks like now, go to TCP, that's Texas Custom Patios, tcplance.com, and you can see the before and the after. Their designers, basically what they can do is take a look at your space. You know, there's just people who can see the space and they can envision all the things that can take place in that space. Well, that's what they can do. And they pitched a roof that is vaulted and matched it into my pre-existing structure. You could never tell that it wasn't there previously. It's unbelievable the work they do. And I ended up going with travertine floor. We cut a channel inside there if in case any rain or water gets in, like during a hurricane, for example, it will go into that drain and it's routed back out. Got the ceiling fans, the sound system, the big screen TV. What I'm trying to tell you is this is your home away from home, guys. Get a custom patio built from Texas Custom Patios and take it outside and go live your best life out on your own outdoor living space with Texas Custom Patios. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com or go to TCPLance.com.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
By the way, just found out yesterday, our stream is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. Twin Peaks. Okay. I think that's kind of a euphemism, I think, isn't it?
I think Twin Peaks implies, yeah. I mean, if you look at their logos, mountain range and stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, there are no actual mountain ranges in the restaurant.
No, but there's two peaks, I think, in their logo, isn't
there? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you go in the restaurant.
They're uneven, hopefully they're not.
Well, you always want them to be symmetrical.
Yeah. Lance, which is the best Twin Peaks in the city, do you think?
I guess the one that's closest to me, because the closer you are to Twin Peaks, the better life is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think that's not the tagline, but it's something
no,
like that. Something
and
like
they, that. And they are the new sponsor of the live stream. There are no Twin Peaks currently in the live stream, just John. But you can watch
it's
John.
One peak. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But you can watch John, on the live stream brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Yeah. This usually there's two. When Raheel gets there, there'll be two. Raheel caught it last night on Twitter. Did you guys see there's a new...
He caught it because you gave it to him.
I just saw a show.
You threw it at him.
I saw a show. It's called The Informer. And somebody went too far on this thing.
Okay. Oh, you think?
Larry in River Oaks. Nice job.
What was your initial tweet? It's about, Raheel's on a new show where he informs on people.
Yeah,
he's
an informant.
And then Larry had to take it to.
Yeah.
Larry, you're not very creative. First of all, Larry.
Yeah.
That's the joke that's been around since 2001, pretty much.
It's not very funny.
Step up, Larry.
Step your Twitter game up, Larry.
Larry went, I'm not even going to dignify
but
what Larry
said.
But
I said, no, he's an informant on sports radio people. He's not telling on his, those people.
Yeah.
He's telling on sports radio people.
Like you.
Lance eating in studio. You teaching a linguistics class.
Well, I need a side gig, John.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a linguistics job.
That's that, he told Mr. Raheel goes and he tells Mr. Gao stuff about us. Fred and AJ are bullying interns. You're eating in the studio.
Yeah, eat in the studio.
And Dell is teaching a linguistics class.
Actually,
on the side.
I never eat in studio my own stuff. It's all, now if food comes, I'm going to eat in studio. Well,
speaking of which, food is coming, right? Monday?
Yeah. Kobos.
If Raheel lets it.
Kobos is coming in.
Kobos Q. What?
If Raheel doesn't tell on everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. The informer.
Okay, so did you guys see what Willie Will sent us? The band Super Bowl ad from Devour Frozen Foods.
Devour is awesome.
That's one of the greatest commercials that I've ever seen in my life.
It's
period.
Awesome. It is awesome. I'll tweet it out. And it is hilarious. It is hilarious. So this was a band Super Bowl ad too?
That's what he said, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen it where it said, this is already the greatest Super Bowl. And Barstool has it. It says, this is already the greatest Super Bowl ad this year. But there's no way they could play this. There's no way. Devour Frozen Food Porn, it's called. It is hilarious. Is Devour a real frozen food? Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what they've done?
And you know
they made a commercial that they knew wouldn't make it on Super Bowl.
Right.
They knew it would be banned, so they also knew it would go viral.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't have to pay a penny for the viral advertising.
It is going to be – no, it is genius. This is the way that you can get over in 2019 and get your message out.
Yep.
By something that's banned that will go viral and everyone will know what Devour Frozen Food is. I don't even know a frozen food anymore. Have you guys? When was the last time you had a Hungry Man or a tray? What was what they used to call it?
TV dinner.
Yeah.
So I had oh my gosh, was it Hot Pocket? That'd be several years ago. Man, I don't even know.
I can't tell you. Well, I guess if you warm up mac and cheese and these little dishes, that's considered frozen food.
Yeah, but I haven't had the where everything's segmented, where this is your segment of mashed potatoes and this is your meat, whatever it is.
Because that's the only place that we ever heard of Salisbury, right? Before Sean.
Yeah, TV dinners.
That's the only place that we've ever heard of Salisbury.
You know the only place you see it is on Mad. If you watch, I think it's Mad Men, where you can see it and they're undoing the foil on it and They you know, you're like, holy crap, TV.
Remember that back in the day? That is what. Did you guys see the tweet that said, tweet something that no one today would understand? Tweet something from your childhood or your past that no one today would understand, like payphones. Yeah. No one today would know what a payphone is. A TV dinner is another thing.
Yep, TV dinner would be one.
That you actually put in the oven. Remember, the vegetables
oven.
Was in the oven. Remember, the vegetables were always cold. It was invariably something would be cold.
See, my tweet, my story from my childhood that no one would understand. It's not something generic. It'd be like, hey, there was a time when I was 8 years old when my dad, instead of taking my brothers to the airport like he said he was, took them to the airport and shipped them back to Nigeria without telling them. That's the story I would tweet that no one would understand.
without telling them?
He didn't tell him. He didn't tell anyone.
He just brought him to the airport?
So what happened was he didn't tell me at all because I guess he thought he might inform my brother because he knew my brother would run away. What he did was he had a friend of ours, a family friend, take my brother to a Home Depot or somewhere to get him out of the house so he could pack up all his stuff. So he was gone for like an hour. And then when he came back, he goes, and then he put my brother's luggage in the car in like the trunk. And then he goes, okay, we have to go back to Home Depot. And instead of going to Home Depot, he took him to the airport.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did that teach you a little lesson? Don't talk back because you may be deported?
Well, it's a shocking thing, but I would say my brother didn't have like his mother in town. Like she was in Nigeria, so I don't know if my mom would have allowed my dad to ship me to a foreign country because when she actually lived in the same state, my brother didn't have that. No, you're not shipping my son anywhere. He didn't have that because he was actually being shipped back to his mom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
but even still, you probably thought, hey, that could be me.
It is a you when you're 8 years old, you're like, tra-la-la-la, Saturday morning. Hey, what are we doing on Saturday morning, Dad?
Huh?
Oh,
I'm deporting your brother.
You know that brother you didn't know you had until like 2 months ago?
Yeah.
He got in too much trouble. He's got to go.
Oh, my God. You could have ended up in Russia, too, if you got attached to the Russian bride.
Yeah, well, I ruined that for my dad because he couldn't leave the one son he hadn't shipped off because hey, can I abandon two kids? No, you can't, actually. Well, there's a law against that, I think.
Well, that's a different childhood. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lance, did you ever worry about getting deported at any point?
I never thought I'd get deported back to like a farm in Kansas? where my parents were from.
At least Kansas is in America.
Yeah.
It'd be like if he shipped you back to some great uncle in Germany or whatever, wherever
right,
you're from.
Right. I wouldn't mind going back to Italy if you want to know the truth. My parents would have done that. That wouldn't have been too bad. Time to talk about some insurance, though, Lance. Let's go. Let's get it.
So it's boy, you're as excited as anyone about this. You should, and I'm glad you should be, because if you just text money to 232323, you can get it too. Low prices on your homeowner's insurance. That's what you can get. My friends over at TGS, what they do is they shop a variety of homeowners insurances, and they find you the lowest rates. Now, this is coverage that's going to be equal to or even better than what you have right now. I ended up texting money to 232323. I got my rate back. Well, what you do is you send your address then, and then they send you a firm rate back. And then I had them contact me, and from there, it was basically me saying, well, how much is my coverage? Oh, it's only covering that amount of the house, which was what I bought it for. I was like, no way, let's add $100,000 because it's appreciated in value, you know, over the time that I own the home. And they did that. And I still ended up saving money. Raheel ended up adding flood insurance, and he still ended up saving money. You can do the same thing. Text money to 232323. Ask about your homeowners and your car insurance with TGS.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. As the man just told you, we're going to be at Prime Social tomorrow. Big day. 10,000 guaranteed for the noon tournament. 30,000 guaranteed on Saturday. 30,000 guaranteed on Saturday. I think that's a 2 o'clock start, isn't it, Lance?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Saturday.
2 o'clock Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday, but Saturday is the big guarantee.
Saturday is the big guarantee. 30,000
guaranteed. I tell you right now, I'm sick. Like legit sick, but I'm just drinking my coffee. This weather has been, it was like I was in a hurricane yesterday. It was unbelievable. We had just the worst, whatever that big storm was. I don't know. Did it hit y'all real hard or no? You were acting like it was no big deal.
No, we just got cold pretty much. There was some rain. It was overnight though. So I think that's the best rain. Overnight rain's the best rain.
I think it probably did hit because that thing was a monster. I don't know if you guys saw it on the radar. It stretched from the Gulf all the way past like Ohio. I mean, all the way. It's this monster storm. And we got hit like crazy here. We got annihilated. Annihilated is maybe a little hyperbole, but we got hit really, really hard. And this weather has gone from, it was in the 40s, then it was 66 and raining. And then this morning it's in the 30s. And it's just, you know, that kind of stuff wreaks havoc. But I told my wife and I'm like, well, I mean, I'm going. She already knows. I said, I'm taking Friday is prime day. It's poker day. I hadn't had a good poker day for a while, and I'm really looking forward to having people give me their money again.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
So, unfortunately, and this has been going on, it was something that we started here. Actually, we started over when we were at 610 about 15 years ago. I think it's on year 15 or 16, is the All-In for ALS is also on Saturday. Ooh. And so we got that. That's going to be at Bayou City Event Center. I'll tell you what, at 7:40 exactly, 713-780-3776, caller number 10, we're going to give you a free spot in that. in nice. For courtesy of Damaris Barbecue. They've got, they're a big sponsor. They do all the food. They've been sponsoring it forever. It's it's total charity. It's one event, one time a year, and it's huge, huge, huge. And we got a spot for you. I think it starts at noon. Usually starts at noon at Bayou City Events Center, right there by the dome. So if you want to play on that, we got a spot for you. You'll be on the Damaris team. All you'll do is walk up and say you're on the Damaris team. We'll get your name, and we'll put you down on the list. So caller number 10 at exactly 7:40. So we'll get the streamers in on the Twin Peaks stream. The Twin Peaks stream. Is that what it's called?
No, the live stream, the video aspect is Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Not the normal radio stream.
Oh, just the video. Well, what about the people in the video? We got
Yeah, they're involved too. If they're listening that way, call in at 7:40.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people too. Those people. I like to call them those people.
Lamont said he didn't want to listen until we were done with our James Harden slob fest. I'm like, wait a minute. He had 61 franchise record. Yeah. Is doing something only Michael Jordan has done since the merger. He deserves this attention.
No, you know, we're in Houston, Lance. And listen, on the way in, I heard Golic and Wingo. They spent about 10 minutes or so just on James Harden and his, you know, averaging what he's averaging per game, and right, talking about Chris Paul and Clint Capella, and you know, that's a national show. They should be talking about James Harden, not us. I mean, this is a local show. We need to be talking about, I have no idea what we're supposed to be talking about when James Harden just put in 61 last night and is averaging 36 points a game. What the hell are we supposed to, on a sports show? I can't imagine that we would talk about James Harden.
Well, I didn't necessarily think it was a slop fest. Maybe for whatever reason, Lamont thinks you guys were too kind to James Harden.
How are you too kind to James Harden?
I don't know.
The dude is the whole team.
I don't know.
He literally is the whole team. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. Now, again, you know, do they have enough? I don't know. Is he going to perform in elimination games? Because he has performed in the playoffs. To say that he doesn't perform in the playoffs is incorrect. But in elimination games, he has faltered. There is no question about that. He has had his issues. You don't get to the elimination. Well, you don't get anywhere on this team without James Harden. You just don't. So there's that. But is, you know what? And everybody takes, I think, all of this, again, with a grain of salt. It's almost like the Houston. It's like James Harden is almost the Houston Texans. It's almost identical to the Houston Texans. We've got to take it with a grain of salt because we know that they're going to fail in the postseason. We know that they're just not good enough. And they won't show up against the New England Patriots, or if they had to play the Kansas City Chiefs, or whomever they had to play. They were not going to get it done.
I'm going to say the same thing then. People mistook this last time, and they'll mistake this again. When I made the comment about you've got to be able to enjoy some things, it didn't mean I thought the Texans had a good team. It didn't mean I thought the Texans, they had won 10 of 11. That was the truth. It didn't mean I didn't know that they hadn't played good quarterbacks. It didn't mean that I didn't know their schedule had been soft and all that stuff. You put a gun to my head, I'm not picking them to get to the AFC championship game or anything like that. But the whole point was, it's okay to enjoy, even if you don't buy all the way into, you know, into the what you're seeing, it's okay to enjoy. We got into the point where, like, nothing brings us joy anymore as a society. Everything is just, you have to, everything is just beaten to smithereens. You can't, you know, here's why this, before you know, I'm sure BuzzFeed will have something. Here's why James Harden's 61 points is problematic. And we'll have a problematic, which is my new favorite article, where they try to take a fun TV show or character. Here's why The Office was problematic. Here's why Chris Pratt, and here's why Chris Pratt's rise into prominence is very problematic. Like, God, can anything be fun in him? James Harden had 61, but if you look at this, you know,
no one else getting involved.
But it doesn't even matter anymore, because what's he done in a postseason? Like, I get it. But there's nothing that can happen. Are we just nihilists until the postseason?
I guess. No, nobody can enjoy anything. And again, I agree with you 100%. Let's have fun when the Texans are winning. Let's enjoy it. Now, okay, so, and well.
Winning and covering.
Well, we got to watch out because Lamont might be listening now because he wasn't going to listen about to the slob fest, but he might be listening now. And if you say anything is okay less than a championship, then you're just a homer, okay? And it, so it's a complete failure if you don't win a championship, okay? So let's get that straight.
Well, a lot of people do
anything
believe-
short, then you're just soft, and that's why all the teams here are soft is because you let them off because they didn't win a championship.
Well, that's become Twitter has made people so coarse when it comes to judgments on players, and like I'm not the biggest James Harden postseason guy. I'm not, but at the same time, to not recognize, I mean, we just are so agenda driven on narratives and wanting to stay true to. We can't be open-minded and honest in our assessments anymore. There's just no objectivity. Everything is so subjective. I can't even watch the news anymore. You can't. To get anything that has any level of objectivity to it, you got to go to like
Fox NPR, News.
Not Fox News. You got to go to like NPR where people talk like your news has to sound like this. And also on the. When you look at the West Bank and Gaza Strip, there is like NPR. Nothing gets NPR rattled. Nothing rattles NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And the government shutdown is in day 37, as now federal workers are having to live in cots along the wall outside of the Washington Memorial. I'm like, man, it doesn't sound like it's that bad. Yep. I mean, they're not freaking out. NPR's not freaking out, or the BBC News. On another news in America, well, let me go see what this British guy has to say so I don't get a damn slant on everything.
Well, I don't know. Good luck with that because there is definitely a European slant towards what's going on with Trump in the United States. Okay.
So but everything I get is like it's like every newscast is now turned into every newscast. It almost doesn't matter. They've all gone to the first take model of well, you know what? No one really wants news. We just got to argue back and forth and just do a talking heads piece where we do a four-box screen where people come in from around the country mm-hmm. to argue about stuff.
Right.
Like, man, it's first take on everything. You know who I blame this on? Why can't it be more like PTI? PTI is still nice. It's still nice and friendly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that PTI, they just talk back and forth at each other. And, Tony will get a shot every
once in a while. You know who this is all on? Our country. Don't tell me it's on... Don't tell me it's on Antifa. It's not on Trump. It's not on Obama. This is all on one guy, Skip Bayless.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
I blame Skip Bayless for where we are right now.
Skip Bayless has ruined our
lives. He made it the norm. He made it the norm.
Yep. No. Okay.
Just have a strong opinion. If you just have a strong opinion.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
Viewership.
You can be wrong and make every time. You could be 100% wrong and make $5 million a year.
I'm not even joking about that.
No.
Just have a strong opinion.
That's it.
And now they do that on news now.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 if you want. We got a winner on that, All In for ALS. It's a great, great tournament. It started with Stuart coming in, and Stuart Nichols coming in actually called me and said, John, I know you like to play poker. We want to raise some money. And he had ALS. And I said, I've got the perfect guy for you, Yanni Damaris. He can run this thing. And he took it, and a bunch of people, a bunch of great people that took it and ran. And it's been Sitgo and Chad, CEP, and all kinds of people took it and to another level. And now it's 15 years or so and raising money for ALS research. So congratulations. I think it may even be more than 15 years. But
Dan says, what would the news sound like? Could you do that if Dell's dad was reading it? I'm not going to do Dell's dad.
Well, what does
news.
It sound like in Nigeria? What's going
gonna
on?
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going
to
do this.
What does it sound like when Dell's dad is about to deport his son? What does that sound like?
Who wants to go for ice cream?
First, my dad would never take us for ice cream. So that's another part of my childhood that never
hint.
Happened.
That's your hint that something's up. We never go for ice cream.
Wait a minute. Who wants to go to Home Depot?
Well, that at least is plausible on a Saturday morning. Him taking us for ice cream, no chance. My brother would have been gone.
There's no chance.
He would have read into that.
I know who's going to be calling Lance. HR doing Dell's dad impressions. Okay.
As well they should.
All right. HRP. HRP.net.
Who wants to go for a pony ride?
Once again.
Nope.
Not plausible.
Nope.
HRP.net. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your payroll. Now it's the new year and you're still with your company and this is a disaster. Okay. Your company is really not all that good at this. It probably is charging you way more than you have to be charged because that's what they do. You're probably not getting the same. What, how about your taxes? How are they doing with that? How are they doing with your Affordable Care Act? Are you sure you're not going to be fined? How are they doing? Is a payroll always perfect? How's the HR? How's your insurance? How's your benefits? Because HRP takes care of all of these things every single day for all the companies. If you have more than 15 employees, and even if it's in multiple states, it just doesn't matter. HRP is here for you, and they are awesome. We love them. We changed ours a while ago and couldn't be happier with what we've done, and I recommend them to everybody. Okay, so if you're looking to upgrade your payroll company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm reading Johnny Harris's account of... he's got 23 points. If you follow him on Twitter, you can get that. But we've got Lance Zierlein here, who's also at the Senior Bowl. And you've got... You were in a hurricane yesterday? Is he not here? Is he up?
He should be.
Yeah. He might be. You think he's in a meeting?
No.
I
had to just go get a plug. My computer wasn't plugged into my power outlet, so I had to go get my power cord.
So,
no meetings.
You didn't have a meeting. So let me ask you this. Give me some observations from yesterday at in Mobile.
Wasn't allowed to go to practice.
Oh.
It was at South Alabama because of the weather. And then it turns out there's actually plenty of room there, and I should have been allowed to go.
Oh, there was?
A lot of people would. I actually watched tape. I went to watch the tape. So some observations. Will Greer is terrible. That's an observation that's real. He is having an awful Senior Bowl. I mean, he has murdered any draft stock he had at all.
Really?
And it already wasn't real high, but he has really performed poorly. the quarterbacks here have not been great. I need to check on Stidham and see how he's doing.
Well, Johnny Harris says quarterback-wise on the South squad, Jared Stidham is really head and shoulders above the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I saw him. Like I said, I didn't get to watch him yesterday, how he threw it. But it comes out of his hands real well. Now, Jared's going to do real well in stuff like this because he's a pretty passer of the football. The problem with Jared, I wrote him up recently, was he really started to see ghosts in the pocket. But that's because there was a lot of actual zombies in the pocket, and the zombies turned into ghosts, where he was assaulted and assailed because of his terrible pass protection. And then he had receivers who dropped it, receivers who weren't getting open, and then just an awful – passing scheme. Where
That's what I want. So Gus Malzahn is taking some. He's taking some beatings.
Let me tell you, people around Auburn, around Auburn and around SEC area, they'll tell you. I didn't realize this until just last year. He is not well liked. He's not well liked around a lot of factions with Auburn. I didn't know that, and then I come to find out that's kind of a known thing. That's not any kind of secret in those circles. Gus is. I'm watching the tape on this. He has an offense that can't protect the quarterback, and he's running all verticals. It's either it's just quick hit screens, or it's like all vertical routes. They don't have time to have all vertical routes. And so I think Jarrett Stidham has, I'm really worried about him being David Card, about dropping his eyes and stuff like that. So we'll see if he can get some of that poise back. But, I talked to James Franklin on the sideline about Trace McSorley. I didn't find him to be the friendliest guy, if I'm being honest with you. Is it Key or Peel? I think I'd rather talk to that version.
You're looking for Peel.
Peel.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Keegan.
Keegan.
You're looking for.
Yeah.
Key, I think you're looking for.
I just know.
He's Key?
Key, like Jordan Peele is the director of Get Out. Key is the other guy.
I just know this. James Franklin wasn't the super friendliest guy to talk to. He wasn't bad. He just wasn't super forthcoming necessarily. And I was just kind of like, Trace McSorley had a bad year this year. He just he had a ton of drops, like 38 drops. His wide receivers couldn't hang on to the ball, but he did not play very well, and he's not doing anything out here to really help himself at the Senior Bowl either. I think Trace McSorley is going to find himself in the seventh round or potentially undrafted. Eric McCoy from Texas A&M is man, he's making himself some money. I think he's going to be a second-round pick now. He decided to come out early, and I think he chose wisely because he's going to get drafted. Montez Sweat continues to dominate. He will be shooting up the board. And Andre Dillard, I was kind of hopeful the Texans might have a shot at Andre Dillard from Washington State, but I don't think he's going to be on the board when the Texans draft. And I know Daniel Jeremiah figured he'd be gone a lot sooner. I think that's going to end up being the case. And so the Texans will still have a shot at a tackle where they're drafting, but I'm curious to see if they might make a move up 3, 4, 5 spots to make sure they get their tackle they want. Cause I don't think they can afford to mess around. I mean, you can't just, well, I hope someone gets here. You're going to have to get a tackle. Have to get a tackle.
So, yeah, but what do you give up? I mean, honestly, I mean, you can't.
Well, so it depends on how far you go.
So many holes. Are you? I know, certainly can't give up any of the.
You can give
two.
Up a third. No, you can give up a third to move up like 3 or 4 spots. Would you do that though to get the tackle you want? Would you give up a third?
First and a third for a.
Would you give up a
left tackle for, that will maybe
your fourth is gone because of Demaryius Thomas, right?
Yeah.
So so then you have basically just you have 3 picks. In the top 60
and then you,
picks.
Yeah.
And then you don't pick for a while. Would you do that?
If you're convinced optimal. That he's going to be, this guy's 6'4", 7'8", he's 6'5", 3'10".
Very athletic.
If you're convinced that this dude, okay, I just saw, you know, Trent Brown was, I just saw an interview with him and he had his shirt off.
It's not great.
He didn't look very athletic. And by the way, he looked 359.
He's a mudslide.
Yeah. He really is, but he's if you pick him up, no, because you got your left tackle. I'm not giving up a first and a third for a right tackle.
Well, no. Yeah, you're right on that. And this is and they've got some guys who I think could be right tackles in this draft. I mean, this is actually a pretty. What's interesting is there's a guy named Dalton Reisner out of Kansas State, Jonah Williams out of Alabama. Some of these guys are considered guards or centers, so. While they're listed at tackles right now, Max Sharping out of Northern Illinois could end up being a guard. Some of these guys who are listed as tackles may ultimately end up playing guard in the NFL. So that's kind of an interesting twist and turn as well. We'll see how it plays out. Greg Little from Ole Miss, who I'm not as high on as some other people. He's a for sure natural left tackle. He could be there for the Houston Texans. And then Cody Ford from Oklahoma. I think Cody Ford is going to be a guard. Is going to be a right guard. He could play tackle. He played tackle this year there.
I don't want a right guard. I want a tackle. I don't want a right guard.
Well, I don't know if you want him.
No, then I don't want him. Okay. I want a tackle. I want a legitimate tackle as opposed to the Chris Clarks and the
a lot of offensive linemen are not
the Lambs and the come on.
But let me ask you this. Here's the deal with him. He got worked in the early stages against Alabama. His hands are slow. Like there's things he didn't have. He plays with slow hands, but his hands aren't slow. He just needs to speed them up. Basically, he needs to keep getting coached up. That's not an indictment on his offensive line coach. The fact is, college football offensive linemen have never been further behind on in terms of technique and things like that because of the way offenses are run now. They're just not asked to do certain things that they were before. There's not as much time to work with rookies as there was before. Are you okay with taking a talented guy who's not really ready to perform at a high level right now? Because other than Jonah Williams and maybe Dillard, maybe Greg Little, there's not a whole lot of guys like that. They all need work.
Well, of course they're going to need work. Of course they're going to, you know, even those guys will need work.
Well,
I don't moving up to the next level.
Get ready for the complaints.
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to need work.
They don't,
I mean, get
don't
somebody that has the talent to be there and then coach them up. Yep. I'm good with it. I'm good with that. Get the guy. Now, I wouldn't move up for that guy again. I mean, he falls to you. What did Dwayne Brown fall to? He was the seventh tackle in that draft. I mean, do a good job. Figure it out. Who's got some talent, and then coach him up. That's all. Everybody that's moving up to this, even Jonah Williams is going to struggle with that right defensive end. That's going to be the pass rusher.
Yeah.
Everybody's right. Going to struggle. So get a good guy and coach him up. Right now.
That Quentin Nelson stuff, that's not normal.
No, that's not. That's not normal.
And he was a super, super, super highly rated guard. So don't expect Texans fans, if the Texans draft a tackle who plays right away, you're not getting an all pro. So don't think that's normal.
So right now, though, I got to talk about you in the bedroom. Not you, Lance, per se.
Ustedes
in the bedroom. What's going on in there? Are you okay? Are you having issues? If you're having issues, well, my peeps, here's the deal. Is you're going to be okay because we got 4hymns.com. 4hymns.com/John5. Just $5 that first month. You talk to the doctor online. He prescribes the generic medication. $5. It's at your doorstep. Discreet. It's, you know, there's not a giant neon sign. Look, here's some ED med for you. No. Okay. It'll be on your doorstep or wherever you want it delivered. Whatever. But here's the deal, is you are going to be confident. And that is the key, because you're going to have exactly what you need. So if you're looking for a great way to do this, as opposed to all the money that you're going to have to throw down if you're going to the doctor and buying the prescription med, all you got to do is go to 4hymns.com/John5. $5 the first month. 4hymns.com/John5.